welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of Cage My IQ. I am your host, D-Bake, joined by my special guest co-host, Jim DeLulo. How you doing, Jim?
I'm good, man. How are you?
And we're joined today by featherweight contender, Derek Minner. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm good, brother.
As we all saw, he had a fantastic victory this Saturday against Charles Rosa. How did that victory feel?
Great, man. I mean, all wins feel great, man. And, you know, when you get him at the highest level against the highest competitors, I mean, it feels even better, you know?
Yep. And then once again, we want to welcome you to Cage My IQ with our partners, the Sports Box. We got everybody watching. They wanted me to tell you congratulations on your win, and they're going to be watching this interview.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I've getting a lot of overwhelming support, you know, in this win and how the fight went down. And, like, you know, and that's great because I think everybody's going to stop doubting how what type of fighter I am. So I appreciate all the support.
No problem. Before we get into the breakdown of the fight, we just wanted to get to know you a little bit so the fans can the fans that don't actually know you too much can learn a little bit about you. The first question I have for you today is, yep. How's life growing up in Nebraska?
It was small town. I grew up in a town of about 7,000 people. Yeah, man, just the good old small town feel, bro. We pretty much did what we wanted, and you know, it wasn't like today's society. You know, it's kind of you could walk across town to your buddies' houses, hang out, you know, just wrestling your whole life, and yeah, just pretty much like you would think of small town Nebraska boys are, you know.
Was it kind of a feeling where, like, you could go anywhere and you kind of recognize somebody?
Yeah, man. Anywhere you go, you recognize, or anywhere you go, they knew somebody that knew you. Like, I would always be running around town, and then next thing you know, my aunt wouldn't be knowing what I was doing or whatever, and because she owned a salon, you know, and she would always come. I grew up living with my grandparents, and so it was she'd always come over there after and be like, oh, what were you doing over here? What were you doing there? You know? And you're like, what the hell? Cause I didn't really have much rules growing up, but yeah, they always definitely knew everybody took care of everybody, you know, like, all my buddies I have, you know, we have a group of about six, like our parents were all our parents, you know, they, if we need an ass whooping, one of them parents would go ahead and do it. So it was just one of those things. That's that small town Nebraska feel, man.
Yeah, even if you try and get into trouble, because as you know, boys, that's what they do. They like to hang out, get into trouble, get into mischief. I feel like being in an area like that, it's kind of hard to do that because everybody knows who you are. Just like you said, you had six buddies, six different parents, and they probably knew what you were doing whenever you were doing it, even when you thought that they didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, and we were a rowdy bunch, man. We partied, we were drinking, you know, heavily at the age of whatever, but you know, good thing everybody in that group is super successful, and we were supposed to be the freaking ones that weren't. So it's kind of cool to see, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great how it turns out.
Yeah, like me and Jim have known each other since we were probably 10, and now we're in our 30s, so we know how that is. We're the same way. It wasn't the small town like you had, but it was kind of a similarity because we were outside of the city. We were in more of the country area. Yeah. So we were able to do the same things, and we were able to get away with a little bit of that stuff, but it was still the same atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow somebody knew something.
Yeah, for sure.
My next question to you is, what led you to competing in wrestling and then transitioning into MMA afterwards?
Well, man, all I knew was competing in wrestling, man. I've been competing in wrestling since I was 4 years old, you know, like my parents signed me up when I was like 4 years old, and I wrestled all up until, you know, senior in high school. And then I went to wrestle 1 year in college at Iowa Lakes Community College up in Iowa. And after that, man, MMA, I got bored, and one of my buddies, a random buddy that you never think would even fight, he was like, oh, I think I want to go fight up here in South Dakota. And I was like, fuck, let's go. I'll go fight, you know. And I had watched MMA a lot when I was younger, like on the underground scene, because one of my high school friends, Anthony Smith, used to go up there when I was like,
oh, nice.
You know, when we were like 14, 15, he was 2 years older than me. So he'd go up when he was 16, 17 years old and compete, and we'd always go watch him and stuff. So I always knew I wanted to fight or try it out. But that first one, that first random one, got me hooked, man. I went in there, got a win, and I've been chasing that feeling at the highest level for since then.
That's great. I just caught wind of you a little, not this fight, but the last fight. And then I like your style. And then I just stuck to it. And then I was rooting for you in this one. A buddy of mine didn't think you were going to win. And I just knew how the matchup was. And I felt like your strength against his weakness worked so far in your favor. So I told him, I was like, this is a lock. He's going to win.
Hell yeah.
And then, of course, you proved him wrong and proved me right. So,
hell yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
So, Jim, do you have any questions before I go more into mine?
Sure. I know, like, you and Anthony both had like a lot of fights before getting the break into the UFC. Is there less exposure in like the Midwest from like big promotions, or is it just the way of life that you're just fighting to keep going?
No, man, we just like to fight out here, man. And that's the biggest thing. I think it's starting to get better now, but I think for some reason, the Midwest guys kind of get left on the burner for a little bit. You know what I mean? And you see that a lot. Like the guys in the Midwest, for some reason, just maybe it's because we fight so often or whatever. There's not like many big promotions that have came here. You know, we have obviously had Victory back in the day, RFA came, Dynasty, you know, the local shows. But I think it's like we just like to fight so much that eventually we take a loss here and there, and they don't really care for that or whatever. I think the Midwest guys don't get as much respect as they should, I think, you know. But hopefully they start doing that, getting more respect.
With the success Glory's having right now, I mean, you're helping that success to bolster.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too. You know, not a lot of big gyms, you know, and so I think now that, you know, James Krause has created this team that, like, you know, some of the Midwest guys come and travel to, or like it's bred in Kansas City where there's a lot of you guys, UFC talent, high level talent coming out of there. I think maybe the Midwest will start getting the recognition it needs, you know?
Yeah. It's about time.
Yeah. I mean, we're the toughest. I mean, you look at wrestling, you look at anything. I mean, the Midwest is the grind, man. It's the tough, you know, blue collar fucking grind.
Yeah. When you guys come in with like 20 plus wins, you know what I mean? It says a lot. And they're saying, well, you know, he's a rookie to UFC, but you've been fighting forever.
Well, and when it breaks down to it, you know, I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit, but the fact that, like, when Rosa was saying, oh, there's levels of this, you know, I'm going to prove to him that there's levels of this, but, like, people don't understand, like, there is levels of this, and there's levels, like, you got your amateur career, you got your low-level pro career, but then you have to go through that middle ground of beating UFC vets, guys that have been there, the next up-and-comers, and so, for me, like, 7 years ago, I fought Austin Lyons, who was on the Ultimate Fighter. You know, that was my first. So I've been fighting these guys for a long fucking time, you know. And so when there's levels of this, you know, I went through every single level there possibly was, and I went through every up and down there possibly was to get here. And so, like, I feel like my levels surpassed a lot of people in the UFC.
Oh, yeah. And it shows.
Yeah, didn't you fight Herbert Burns on the Contender Series?
I did fight Herbert Burns on the Contender Series, and you know, that's another thing. When you look back at that fight, it's kind of similar to the Rosa fight. Obviously, Herbert's got a lot of better credentials, you would say, but I feel like if we fought now, it would be similar to what just happened to Charles Rosa.
Yeah, then that I was looking down at some of your other fights. I saw you fought Chris Collard, who they just announced
Clay Collard.
Yeah, Clay Collard, who just got announced as Anthony Pettis's first fight in the PFL.
I took that fight. No joke, man. I was mowing down on some Mexican. Wasn't really training. And my manager was like, no way I'm letting you take that, man. You're not in shape. You're not this. And I was like, dude, we're fighting at 55. Like, and I was like, all right, let me go to the gym. I'm going to crack pads hard with my coach, and I'll let you know how in shape I am. So I called him. I said, listen, man, I'm not in the best of shape. I'll go out there and I'll fake it. But sometimes you just got to strap on the gloves and fucking fist fight. And that's why. And I went out there on 4 days notice and took him down and submitted him 30 seconds, best fucking case scenario. But yeah, it was insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I saw that. Like, you have some really good wins under your belt from your, I guess you would say your regional scene. But that's the one question I have now. How was the grind of fighting on the regional scene? I believe you had over 20 fights on that scene.
The regional scene, I got in the UFC when I was 24 and 10. So 34 fights on the regional scene. You know, the thing is, when you look at it, I had, when it combined, 10 fights in RFA and LFA. You know, that right there is the UFC experience. Then you go back to, like, who we'd bring in to fight on Dynasty Sports. It's crazy. The craziest part about it is the ups and downs. Because I've went through every emotion. I went through the highs and the lows of the regional scene. You know, like, when the UFC is like, all right, keep him busy, get him one more win, get him a big win, and you know, we'll sign him or whatever. And then I would take a loss. Or, you know, the biggest struggle, I was trying to fight 35 for fuck all until 4 years ago. And that was the dumbest thing I could have done, man. I was passing out in saunas. I was doing that. And, like, that had a lot to do with, like, the way I was performing, too, was just the way I was cutting weight to try to make my body so small that it wouldn't perform. So,
yeah,
man, like, the grind was – I'm thankful for that grind, though, because not a lot of people get that grind, and it goes to show now that I'm in the UFC and winning fights that I've been through the grinder.
Yeah, it's good for when you got into the UFC, because you've had all those fights, you have all that experience, and when you get in here, you kind of get into that groove of what you know you have to do to prepare, and all you have to do is kind of get the jitters out of your debut, and then you can kind of continue that and then see what you need to do to work against the top talent, because that's where what the UFC is. It's the top talent.
That's the thing. Like, you know, I'm thankful for that, because I know I would much rather have lost outside the UFC, how I've learned as I've went, than to do that shit and learn as I get here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still learning, you know, and that's because I'm with, you know, one of the best coaches in the world now, and the way my game is getting organized and the way everything's coming together. But I had way more lessons in my first 34 fights than the majority of these kids have their whole career, because they didn't take their damn time and they got rushed by some manager, or they got there when they weren't ready and they have to learn on the fly, you know?
Yeah, we got a comment from Bobby. He's a co-host on our other Sports Box MMA show. He said, congrats on the win last weekend.
Thank you.
Yep. The next question I have for you is, we hear a lot about your coach, James Krause. Tell me about how James Krause as a coach, how is he, and what makes him the best in your eyes? I know you always compliment on how good he is as a coach.
Well, you know, and here, when we start out, like, I've always said, like, okay, I need a real pro head coach. Like, I've always said that. Like, I've had some good coaches in my career that have taught me a lot, like, you know, my whole career, that's taught me so much and all that stuff. But I always need that one person to, like, stop me, organize my game, grow my fight IQ, and just help me, you know, whether it's mentally with my fight IQ, physically with my skills. And then you know, how to put it all together and how, what to do, the game plans and all that. Like, I've really never had that, man. A lot of times I've had coaches, but I always just did my own thing, you know? And so under him, I don't really have to think much. He just fucking tells me what to do and I do it. And yeah, man, anybody that has seized the impact that James Krause has on this game, I mean, it's right before everybody's eyes, man. Like literally look what Glory has done in the last year, you know, and what they're about to do. It's just, it's insane, man. And what makes him best is he gives a fuck. He doesn't like to lose, and he cares about his guys. You know, he doesn't just let anybody come into the gym. He doesn't let just random people come in and like work out a gym. There's a reason that everybody's so close down there. The culture down there and the way he's bred in that team is something special.
Yeah, all you have to see with how good he is how his schedule is going to be in the next month or two. It seems like every single fight that he has, every single fight card that is coming up, he has somebody on the fight card that he has to be in their corner. So that shows how much respect you guys have for him and how much experience he has and how much he wants to win. So, like, he's a guy that I'm going to keep my eye on coach-wise and see how all of his fighters are, especially you.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we're 2-0 in this first quarter with Julian, and myself. And this weekend we got Kevin Kroom, and then it's just going to continue on, you know. And so, you know, I don't see the pace stopping. I don't see the wins stop coming anytime soon. I think it's going to be. He's definitely, this year is our breakout year, and you know, it's already starting to show like James Krause Coach of the Year of 2021.
That's a scary thing if this is the breakout year when all you guys have all that experience. So if this is your breakout year, moving on to the next question. How's a typical day in training look?
Man, it just depends on the day. Like I at least train for 3 hours a day, depending on the day. Depending on what we do is what's on the schedule, and 3 hours, 4 hours, or 5 hours usually on the day, depending on what the schedule looks like throughout the day. Like morning practice is usually 10 to 11:30, 12. Night practice is usually 5:30 to 7, and then we'll add strength conditioning, and then what we do that day with whether it's rounds or like the drilling or whatever. It just depends on what schedule James has. What he gives you is what you follow, you know, and that's what makes him different. You know, he gives a shit and you just follow what he says, and you know, it leads to success.
Now, going from your experience and all that into kind of a recap of the fight, the first question I had about the fight with Charles Russo was, For Saturday's fight, what game plan did you have going in? Did you make any adjustments during it? And did you notice anything that helped out with your game plan?
Well, if you watch the fight, you watch the game plan. Literally, that's all I can say, is because that went to the T how James Krause and I had expected the fight to go. Everything that was game planned, everything that was done was definitely there. I felt as I had the edge in every aspect. I made adjustments. Not really. I mean, once these guys, like, they start feeling my power and they start fucking getting hit, they realize that, like, oh shit, he does have hands. Oh, you know what I mean? I feel like that's what was, shown that last fight, even though, like, I did stick the game plan pretty to the T, because once I cracked him and I hurt him and he dropped, like, you know, maybe I could stay back and punch him, but I just wanted to get down and do exactly what I was told, exactly what me and my coach had prepped for. And, yeah, man, nothing really surprised me on the fight. I knew he had a good-ass armbar. I knew he had a good-ass triangle. I knew he was decent off his back, but I know how good I am on my feet and then on top, you know. So I felt like I had the edge, and that's exactly what happened. And, yeah, man, it was perfect.
Did you have any extra motivation after the comments that he made? I believe it was before the fight, how he was kind of overlooking your wrestling game. And then you just came in like a bat out of hell And every chance you had, you took him down. And then what I loved the most was your transitions, the way you were able to transition from guard to half guard. It just like you, it was fluent movement.
Yeah.
And you basically had your way with him.
Yeah, man. Like you can underestimate somebody, or you can say like I said for the fight, like, you know, Charles Rosa is tough, man. Like I knew that it was going to be a grueling fight. I knew that like getting in there, like he wasn't going to be one of those guys that like, even if I did get locked up a choke pretty tight, like he wasn't going to go away easy, you know? And that's why, like, there's a few times, like, I just wanted to show that, like, you know, cause I mean, between him and everybody else, like he's one trick pony, first rounder bust, like blah, blah, blah. I'm better on my feet. Well, that's one, they didn't ever see me on my feet. Two, I'm sorry that I get to choke out people a lot and I'm fucking in fast forward mode. And, you know, just getting with James Krause to organize my game. And, you know, obviously that which helps my cardio and helps my positioning and helps everything out of it. Yeah, man, it don't add fuel to my fire because I know, like, that's the thing with, like, that shit can get into some of these guys' head maybe when they're younger. But, like, man, I may be only 30 years old, but I have my age in this game is a lot older than a lot of these guys. So you can't really shake me when it comes to that stuff. Cause I just like, I laughed it off the whole camp.
What I think caught him by surprise was probably your striking. Like I expected you to take him down, but I didn't expect you to hurt him on your feet. Like you, I think you outstruck him like 68 to like 13 or something crazy like that. Like all like the analysts were like, especially Michael Bisping, were in awe how you're striking because they expected you to just do the ground, take down, ground and pound. But you stood up, you hit him. Actually, I have a couple pictures, like one right there. You got him straight in the face. Then when you took him down, this was my favorite picture right here.
Yeah. And dude, we got back to the hotel, and that was on the front page of ESPN. I was pretty excited, so.
Yeah, like you had your way with him. I was surprised at how well he was able to just hang in there. Like he didn't do anything, but I give him that. He didn't give up.
Man, and then he's tough, bro. And like on our feet, like not a lot of people I don't think seen it, but like in the first round, like I cracked him, and I felt like he realized in the first round, like, oh shit, this dude's got power. The second round, I dropped him with my hands, and like he was out of it. You know, he's just so tough that it was just automatic for him to go to his guard and like play that game. But like a lesser fighter would have been done. And then the third round, like the very first overhand that I hit him with landed. And that's when I knew I had him hurt at that point too. And then the teep kick landed and then everything. That's why he ended up shooting on me. So, yeah, man, it's okay. Cause everybody underestimates my striking and they don't understand it, but that's just because you look at my films and there's not a lot of stuff on it. Even though I'm 37 fucking pro fights in, there's not a lot of film on my stand up. And like, so people can keep underestimating them, but like, I got some hands too.
Yeah. At some point they're going to have to start fearing your hands because you're not just a guy that just goes for the takedown. You can stand up and trade if you wanted to. It just so happens that you're very successful with your takedown and ground game that basically overlooks your striking game.
Yeah. And that happens, you know, I mean, that's fine. You know, like, and I'm okay with it. Like, I don't care what people have to say. Like, yeah. That's one thing about me is like, talk what you want, but here, guess what? On that Saturday night, like you literally, there's a cage door locking and no one can talk for you and you can't talk for yourself. So we're going to fist fight.
Did you tell him that there were levels to it in the cage? Like when you're outside? Man,
I think he realized that. I don't think I had to say much, you know, like I think he was just pretty like, he's a super respectful dude after, like, I get the shit talk. Like, what else can you say, though? Like, you know, I look at it from his side of the point. It's like, okay, he's has 8 fights in the UFC. He's had 4 fight of the nights and 1 performance bonus. Like, I get it, man. Like, you can think what you want. And, you know, I've been submitted a few times in my career. But obviously, like, he would talk about that. But I don't know if he ever watched any of those fights. Because, like, you watch those fights, you understand, like, every one of those fights, but like one or two, like I was winning the whole fight up until the moment that I got caught or something like that. So I think a lot of those people, when they talk about my losses, they don't understand how those losses came about. You know what I mean? Like even the recent losses. So
yeah, they just see the result. Yeah. They don't do their homework.
Which is fine, because that's the thing. Like, that shit ain't going to happen now. Like, my fight IQ is growing. You know, I'm with the right coach. I'm with the right team. And I'm just getting better, which is great. You know, it's not a lot of people fucking 37 fights in. Just, I feel like my game improves every week, you know. And so, yeah, man. So, we're just here to make the impact that I've always wanted to make.
That's right.
That's going to lead into my next question. Are you looking to get back into fighting right away, or have time to light train and then figure out your next move?
They know. That's the thing. Like, I this was the longest fight camp in my career. You know, that was only my fourth decision in my whole career. You know, that was it's pretty crazy stat. Like, yeah, man, whatever. Like, I'm down with whatever. If like Sean calls, he's like, hey, we need a fight in 5 weeks. Here's your opponent. It's a good matchup, you know, and or whatever. Like, we may take it. We may not. We'll see what's up. I do like short notice fights, because you don't have to think about one man for 12 weeks. That's kind of weird. And then the freaking, you know, if we fight in May, June, like, I'm down with that too. Like, I want three or four fights this year. I don't want to spend too much time on the bench. I want to keep going. I want to get my next fight announced. I want to get everything. The little nagging injuries of the long camp are starting to go away, that I had 3 or 4 days to rest and chill out. So yeah,
I feel like the UFC now is leaning towards like the shorter fight camps, like the traditional 3 months to train. I feel like it's starting to go out the door. You start seeing a lot of two, three weeks, maybe a month fight camp, and then you fight, because a lot of fighters want to get more experience and then get paid more. And then the only way you do that mostly is by fighting more. I call it the Dyer Cerrone effect.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing. Like, I've taken a lot of short notice fights in my career. And like, the thing with it is I just got to be the right scenario, because I've done what I needed to do to impress. I feel like, you know, I took a fight with Grant Dawson on 8 days notice, and I was fucking big and out of shape for that fight. And I made weight, you know, he came in 5 pounds overweight. I still took the fight, you know, cause we're there to fight, which I feel like that was a notch in my cap. And then I go get a win over the next big thing from Canada and pretty quick in TJ Laramie. And then I just go, finally got over that hump of the first round bullshit and beat on Charles Rosa for 3 rounds. So I feel like I'm in a good spot right now. So, I mean, if the right fight comes along in, you know, 5-6 weeks, yeah, I'm down. But, you know, if it takes 12 weeks, then I'm down too. It doesn't matter, man.
Do you want somebody in the top 15? I mean, you've had big wins, like you just said, but, you know.
Yeah,
you also have Herbert Burns that you could avenge that loss too.
I think he went to 55. He missed weight in his last fight. But that's the thing. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't really care who it is. Like, if they came at me with a top 15 opponent, I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, if they came at me with a middle of the road guy, let's go. You came at me with somebody that was just signed off the contender series, let's go. Like, I'm not picky. I'm just here to do one thing, and that's to begin fist fights and get money for it. You know what I mean?
That's
make money doing what I love. And, you know, I'm enjoying the process finally. I'm enjoying everything about fighting. My weight cuts, I'm working with Tyler Mint. My weight cuts are good, so I don't dread that process as much as I used to. So I'm just starting to – 37 fights in, I'm just now starting to really enjoy the process and enjoy and love what I do as much as what I thought I did before. So
that's scary. That's scary for your next opponent.
Yep.
That's the thing, you know, like, I thought I loved the sport. I thought I fucking, you know what I mean? Like, really down to the core, like, I fucking just went through the motions, and I took so many setbacks that you just kind of like, fuck, man, what do I do? And it was always like the grueling weight cuts, the not knowing what you're doing in the weight cuts, just stupid shit that made the process so much worse. And now, like, everything's getting dialed in to a T during fight week. And so, like, I'm enjoying it now, like way more than I thought I could ever enjoy what I'm doing. I'm really loving the process that much more.
Awesome.
Yeah, that makes it a lot better, because then like it's a better output for you, knowing that you're very positive about what you're doing. Instead of you're just doing it for the money, you don't want to worry, fight, it's just for the paycheck. You're doing it because you love it. So that always makes the process a lot better.
Well, and that's the thing, man. Like you understand, like I've been in the UFC for 1 year. Okay. So yeah. 1 year from this weekend, I had made my UFC debut. It's just crazy, because like on the regional scene, like you don't make that much money. Like I'm so blessed to have a lot of sponsors, some people that backed me since day one. You know, I sell a lot of tickets. Like I was blessed in that category, but you're still not making that much money doing this on the regional scene, for sure not. I mean, even though we don't make that much money, it's better money than what you're making before you got in the UFC, you know? And so, yeah, man, you just got to enjoy the process and just keep building.
To change topics dramatically from that, just learn a little bit about the stuff you do outside. What's a few things that you do outside of MMA to keep your mind off of work, which is fighting?
Man, there's not much, man. I got two daughters at home that we, you know, I like spending time with them. I like just hanging out with the family, you know, doing that thing. MMA is pretty much my hobby. Like I'm watching it every day. I'm watching the fights every day. Like I go and train every day. Like there's not many things that get my mind off it, because this is what I, you know, I love to do. And this is like, that's how you keep building the game. But I got my family, you know, I got a 10-month-old that keeps us super busy, 5-year-old that never stops. And so that's pretty much it, man. It's the family and the MMA. That's pretty much my life.
Are you a guy who watches a lot of tape before going into a fight? Like we're just on prospective opponents.
Man, that's the thing. Like I usually don't watch any tape, but I started to this camp. Actually, I can't get on a treadmill unless I'm fucking just focused in on something. So I was like, screw it. So I kept putting Charles Rosa's fights on there just to watch him, and just and then I can just go for the whole fight. Like, you know, if he has a friggin', you know, I could put on a couple and I can just go. So I started watching more film just to make sure that I was getting my cardio in that much more. But usually I don't really watch that, man. I got a coach just for that. I don't need to, man. I there was one fight when I fought Luke Sanders fucking 6-7 years ago. I watched way too much film, and I was like pissed off at myself for when I couldn't do one thing or whatever. And then it just like hurt me in the fight. So yeah, I just don't do that no more.
Okay. So you just take whatever your Kraus tells you to do, not do, and you just work on that, and then that way you don't waste too much on one avenue.
And like when I'm on, like I said, when we go over a game plan and we do our game plan, and then I watch him, like when I'm on the treadmill or something, that's the only time I watch film. Like I just like I don't really watch it to break down. I just watch it to see what he's telling me that we need to do, or what is the best path to victory, you know.
Awesome. I love the trust between you and your coach,
for sure, man. It's a, you know, it's just, it's cool, because I'm like a kid that's never had a coach, like a coach like him, you know, because I've had coaches. Like I don't want to be disrespectful to like my previous coaches or even my coaches now when I'm at home, because I've had some great coaches. Like, you know, I've been with the same crew here in Omaha for years. I would go out and I would train in Vegas. I'd go out and train at Black House previous years. But yeah, man, like it's just, there's just nothing like it, man. He's so brilliant.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's more hands-on, and he wants to get the most out of you, which that's what you want in your coach. You want him to be able to tell you what you need to do, and then you just listen, and then do what you do best, and that's fighting the octagon.
Yeah, man, and that's huge. You know, when you got you know, trust in somebody, and you don't have to watch anything. You just know that it's going to be good. You know, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I don't want to waste too much time of yours. I know you got a busy schedule, so that'll wrap things up.
Okay.
Us at the Sports Box just want to thank you, Derek Minner, for joining us. And anybody who wants to follow him, you can follow him at Derek Minner on Twitter, and then at DMinner145 on Instagram. That's definitely showing some love, support him, and hopefully we see him raising a belt in the future.
Yeah, at some point, my man. That's right. No matter how long it takes, I don't care.
Oh, I see it with how you've been improving. You're already great, but I see big things for you in that division.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, right, thanks for joining us. You have a nice rest of your night.
Take care.
What a great guy. Yeah. He's a great guy. I'm looking forward to him. Is there anything that you heard from him that stuck to you?
I just love his mentality, man. Just going in there and, you know, sharpening his tools, honing his craft, and going in there and kicking ass. It's good to see that. And he broke down, you know, the training stuff. I like the inside tips of that. He also, before we even went on, he told us about he has a gym too. So yeah, you should look into that as well.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the top guys on my list now. Just follow him. But if you have any questions that you you couldn't ask us, definitely comment on the video after we're done, and I'll shoot it over to you, and then I'll try and comment back with his answer back. But this is Cage by IQ. We're live with Derek Middleforce on Twitter at Cage IQ. You can also follow us on Facebook at Cage My IQ SB, and then on Instagram at Cage My IQ. I am your host, D-Bake. This is my special co-host, Jim DeLulo. Yep. And we're signing out.
See you. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.